Okay, so we are continuing in Chazon Yeshayahu. Warning you ahead of time, it's going to get a little intense today. Not me, Yeshayahu is going to get intense. All right. If we're able to get to a slightly more uplifting pasuk, then it'll be good. But he's going to say some strong things. We ended off saying a strong comment, and it's going to get worse. But we're in Pasuk Yud. I would like to get to around Yud Ches today. That would be up to Yud Ches, I'd like to do. So we ended off Shemu Dvar Hashem Ketzinei Sodom Hazinu Torah Selekenu Am Amora. But just before that, in Tes, we said, Lule Hashem Tzvakos Hosir Lanu Sarid Kemat. If not for Hashem leaving a trace of the Jewish people, just a remnant of us, if not for that, Kistom Hayinu L'Amora Deminu. We would be like Sodom. We would be comparable to Amora. And we said, okay, what does that mean? Well, we know Sodom and Amora. Right? If we read Sefer Bereishis, we know that they were completely destroyed. The land you can't live there anymore. There's complete destruction, overturning, sulfur and salt, and it was impossible to exist there anymore. And that could have happened to us, Chas v'Shalom. But Hashem loves us, and He promised to our forefathers that He would never completely destroy us. So therefore, we were not quite like Sodom and Amorah in that regard. But we said, really, there's much more than that. There's many people who have suffered destruction, but there's something in particular that we're trying to point out over here, and it's the fact that there's a havam, there's a thought that we would be like Sodom and Amorah. So let's take a look at the next pasuk and note the difference. He says, Shimu Dvar Hashem Kitzinei Sodom. Listen to the Dvar Hashem Kitzinei Sodom, officers of Sodom. Hazinu Torah Elokeinu Am Amorah. Be attentive, take ear to the Torah of our God, nation of Amorah. So what just happened there? Well, who's Hashem talking? Who's Yeshayahu talking to? You read one more time?
Officers of Sodom and Amorah.
The officers of Sodom and Amorah. Who are the officers of Sodom and Amorah? What happened to the officers of Sodom and Amorah? Okay, so he can't be talking...
Sorry to be late, but it's compared to Sodom and Amorah.
So this hurts, no? This hurts. Yeshayahu just... Yeshayahu is looking at Klal Yisrael. He's not talking to Sodom and Amorah. Sodom and Amorah don't exist anymore. He's looking at Klal Yisrael and he says, officers of Sodom, nation and Amorah, listen to the Dvar Hashem. Be attentive to Torah Elokeinu. It's very harsh. The Gemara in Brachos and in other places talks about there's a concept of Al Yiftach Pe LaSatan. Don't say negative things, because the power of words can bring something into reality. That's why we always try to talk positively, right? You give examples in Gemara about someone dying, so you don't say, well, let's say I did. No. Somebody else, right? Reuven, Shimon. We don't like saying negative things. The Gemara in Moed Katan says it's a bris that's crucibus vasayim. There's like a covenant that's sealed with the lips. So we try to be careful about the things we say. The Gemara brings this as an instance of this. Because what happened in the first pasuk and the second pasuk? Pasuk Tes and pasuk Yud. What difference took place? Right, what do you see? He says first, Kistom, we would be like Sodom. La Amora Damino, we would be comparable to Amora. And the next pasuk, right, it went from simile to... Come on, it's been a while since English, right? To a metaphor, right? Where it's no more you are like these things, but you are these things. How did it escalate like that? So one understanding based on the Gemara is that, well, if you say things like that, we would have been like this, and then all of a sudden you are this. But to speak more contextually, what's going on here is that we did something wrong like Sodom and Amorah. What are Sodom and Amorah known for? What was their thing? Sinas chinam. Usually the term sinas chinam isn't applied to this. It's baseless hatred. I'm not even sure if we'd call it necessarily hatred. I'm not even sure. It's definitely a violation of bein adam lechaveiro. It's definitely in that realm. I don't know if we'd call it necessarily baseless hatred. I think it's something more specific to Sodom and Gomorrah. Mentioned by Yechezkel, and it's quoted in a lot of the Gemaras and Midrashim.
Rashi goes.
Oh, so that was Lot's wife in particular. So what is that midah? What's that midah? What's this midah? So the midah that's discussed is stinginess, selfishness, right? You know the Midrashim about how they had laws about not having guests unless you would torture them, right? Has anybody ever learned these Midrashim, right? People didn't fit the bed, so they would stretch them out, or they would, you know, cut off their legs in order for people to fit the bed, meaning that it was not the place you wanted to go for Shabbos. The hospitality was, they didn't have enough, they didn't have herring. A lot of things wrong with their hospitality. So, they're known for being particularly selfish, particularly stingy. It wasn't rooted from a place of hatred necessarily, just for only caring about themselves. Now it's interesting when you're learning through Parshas Vayera, there's a very clear contrast. The story of the destruction of Sodom follows immediately after what story? It was a while ago. But what story in the Chumash you read Parshas Vayera? What story does it immediately follow? The visit to Avram's home, right? Where Avraham, he had herring, right? Avram brought in three guests, incredible Baal Chesed, incredible host, Tachnasos Orachim, the thing, right, the kids came home with, my daughter came home from school with a little hanger with a picture of her, and it says, like, we love our guests, and so we use it, that's, we got a Parshas Vayera, we hang the guest's coat on it, it's cute. So this Tachnasos Orachim was Avraham's, it was one of his main tools for his avoda. And then immediately we contrast that with Sodom and Amorah, especially as explained by Yechezkel and then the Gemaros subsequently. And we are B'nai Avraham. We're descendants of Avraham. So that's our midah. Our midah is to be hosts and Baalei Chesed, and someone comes and we escort them and we help them and take care of them and what can we do for you? Right, that's our midah, and he's telling us that we are the exact opposite of our roots. Zera mereim, banim mashchisim. You had such great roots, and now you are Sodom and Amorah. The exact opposite of everything that Avraham is supposed to be. What happens right then? Avraham is essentially promised, right, in that scene when he has guests. He says, Hashem says, you're going to have children. Now you're going to have children. And the hope would be that the children would be like their father. And Yitzhak was. But later on, we are more like Sodom and Amorah. And we're going to see this more spelled out momentarily. Hashem says, Yishayahu says, in the name of Hashem, Lomali rov zivcheichem. What do I need your abundance of zvachim for? What, your slaughtered offerings. Yomar Hashem. He's talking. Hashem says this: Savati olos elim v'chelev mereim. I am full. I am full. I'm satiated, but not in a good way, right? It's not like you walk out of a good meal like, oh, I'm full. I can't have any more. It's that I don't want any of these olos, these elim, these chelev mereim, all these fat animals you're giving. V'dam parim uchvasim v'atudim lo chafatzti. And I don't desire the blood of the oxen or the lambs or the goats, right? The blood is a critical component of the avoda, of the Korbanos, right? And part of it is that, you know, it symbolizes your own blood, and your blood is a life force, and it's when you're doing bringing the Korbanos, it's this big dedication of yourself to Hashem. Hashem says, I don't want the Korbanos, I don't want the blood. What do I need this for? He says, when you come before me, who asked these things of from your hands that you're like trampling my courtyards? Lo sosifu havi minchas shav. Don't bring any more minchas shav. This empty, meaningless flower offerings. Ketores toevahi li. The ketores, the incense offering, is a toeva to me. It's an abomination to me. It's abominable. It makes me sick. See the ketores? We know about the ketores. We just learned about it again in Parshas Pinchas during this whole tikufa of the, you know, the pandemic. I think a lot of people have been speaking about this to prevent magifa. The ketores is something that's particularly beloved before Hashem. He says, ketores toeva hili. It's disgusting. Can't tolerate the smell. It's like worse than peanut butter. I don't like the smell of peanut butter. It bothers me. Right? It's like I walk in. I can't take this ketores. Okay. Chodesh v'shabbos kro mikra lo chal oven v'atzara. Chodesh and the Shabbos, these like convocations that you call these meetings, lo chal oven v'atzara. I can't bear like this like falsehood with this gathering. So there's like a falsehood. There's like a sinful falsehood in these gatherings, in Shabbos, in Chodesh. Chodshechem u'moadechem sano nafshi. Your Chodashim, your Rosh Chodashim, and your Moadim, your holidays, your Yom Tovim, sano nafshi. My soul hates them, says Hashem. Hayu alayla torach. They're like a burden to me. It's like, ugh. I have to go to their Yom Tov. I have to go to their Shabbos. Nil Esi Neso. I'm like worn out from trying to bear it. Hashem says I can't take your Avodas Hashem. Is this Avodas Hashem? I can't take your Moadim. I can't take your Shabbos. These Korbanos you're bringing. So this is strange, right? Because we're over here. What? These sound like things that Hashem wants from us. He says, like, me be kashizos. Who asked for this? Pardon me, but you did. Right? It says in the Chumash, all these mitzvos. So there's one pshat that's mentioned in the Gemara. I don't know if the Gemara means it as pshat. It says, chod shechem u'moadechem. It's your chadash, right? Meaning the chadashim and moadechem. The ones that Klal Yisrael innovates, like we make up our own things, and there were sinful holidays that were created, but this Pashup Shad is that Hashem is not happy with the mitzvos and the way we fulfill them. So does anybody know what's wrong with these mitzvos? What's the problem? Why are we getting such a harsh rebuke that Hashem doesn't want our mitzvos? Yeah. Okay, so it could be that we're doing it for self-service, and it could be that's moadechem, right? Chod shechem moadechem. It's yours. It's not l'shem shemayim. Right. No, that's what I'm saying. They're doing it for themselves. It's chod shechem, meaning your holiday. This is your own thing. This is self-service. That's what it would be. Avel v'atzara. This falsehood in this gathering. Okay, we'll see a little bit more. We're going to get back to that. Ufarischem kapechem alim einai. When you raise your hands, I hide my eyes, mikem, from you guys. Gam tarbu svila einani shemeya. And also when you increase in tvila, when you continue to daven, I'm not listening, says Hashem. Yideichem damim maleu. Your hands are filled with blood. You want to raise your hands for birchas kohanim. By the way, this is part of the source that if a kohen gadol, sorry, not a kohen gadol, if a kohen, also kohen gadol, kills, and it's a discussion even b'shogeg, and it's if they kill, then they can't do nesias kapayim, they can't do birchas kohanim. Right? It says over here, you raise your hands. I'm hiding my eyes from your raised hands because your hands are filled with blood. So we know that a Kohen Gadol who kills, a Kohen who kills, can't do Berachas Kohen. Hashem says, I'm not listening to your tefillah. This is very harsh. And we don't hear this all the time, right? We don't hear, for the most part, our teachers don't say this, but I wouldn't you know, have the gall to get up here and say this if it wasn't the Haftarah this week. And that Hashem clearly wants us to pay attention to what these words are. And Chazal wants us to pay attention to what these words are. Yeshaya wants us to. So that's why we're reading it. It's very harsh, but we'll try to use it not to break us, but to use it for the purpose of figuring out what we need to do. Oh, now we're running out of time. Oh, this is really bad. Rechatsu hizaku. So he says, this is good. He says, clean yourselves. It's interesting. Rechatsu. Rechatsu is also the same letters as Ratzach, to kill. So your hands are filled with blood, but the next word is rachatsu, turning from like ratzachu to rachatsu. No more killing. Wash off. Hizaku, purify. Hasiru roa ma'alecha mineged enai, remove the evil. Chidlu harea, cease from doing evil. Limdu heitev, learn to do good. Dirshu mishpat ashru chomot, seek out justice. Straighten those who are victims. Shiftu yasom, do judgment on behalf of the orphans. Rivu almana, take grievance upon the behalf of the widow. And we're going to speak about this a little bit more tomorrow. We got up to essentially what we needed to, but this is part of the turnaround. This is Hashem saying, or Yeshua is saying, this is what you need to do. Enough of all the frumkeit. Enough of bringing the karbanos. Hashem says, I don't want your karbanos. He does. He does want the karbanos. But he doesn't want the karbanos the way they're brought. If you are taking advantage of the widow, if there are widows, if there are orphans, if there are people who are weak, and no one's doing justice for them, if there's a lawless world out there, but you're doing your Yom Tov, right? If you can spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on your own Yom Tov, and then there are and it's at the expense you have poor people and it's at their expense and you know you charge them a lot because you need to make your Yom Tov and you have hundreds of thousands of dollars for your Yom Tov, you're not helping them. Just, I don't want your Yom Tov. If you have blood on your hands because you had the upper hand and you're oppressing these widows and these orphans and these other victims, you have blood on your hands. Don't, do me a favor, don't raise those hands for Birchas Kohanim. Don't raise your hands in tefillah and say, Hashem, please. Hashem says, I'm not listening to your tefillah. If you don't listen to the cry of the orphan, of the widow, when they're crying and they say, please, please help me, I need some money, and you say, I'm sorry, I can't, I have to go, I'm busy, I can't help you, I can't hear your plight. So Hashem says, Enei Mishamea, I'm not listening to you either. You cannot just do some external, superficial forms of Avodas Hashem, fulfill some mitzvos externally, but when it comes to what the mitzvos are supposed to make you do, and what it's supposed to turn you into, which is a mensch, a human being, and a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Seraph, Korach, and Leah, and if you're not living up to that, then you're doing something very wrong, and you have to break it down and then rebuild. More to say, and we'll continue tomorrow. But this is ultimately what it's going to be. It's not to say like Hashem doesn't care. Hashem so badly wants to be able to listen to our tefillos and accept our karbanos and love our Shabbos and love our Yom Tov. He so badly wants to, but fundamentally something is wrong with them, and we have to break them down in order to Bezus Hashem rebuild.
Tomorrow the 6th.